Brian's notes that we're going to hold on to until point if we get to it in the meeting. If you guys wouldn't mind. So, welcome back from spring break for any travelers that may have been. Okay, so we had a couple of items on our agenda for today. We were going to get caught up on the monthly financials that we bypassed at the end of March since we have a limited availability with spring break. So we're going to go over those. And it was our intention to spend some time talking a little bit more, again, about our multi-year capital plan and seeing what kind of updates would make sense in those notes before we're ready to talk about whether this committee makes a recommendation to council on that policy. I think, however, since the legislation was just approved yesterday to increase the gasoline tax, and we're trying to take a little bit of time to figure out what the impact of that is, with the 10.7% increase on gasoline and the 20-cent increase on diesel. Was it 19? Oh, okay, the newspaper article, I think, said 20. But in any event, I asked Tom if he could start giving us a little bit of directional guidance on what we think that might look like with our budget, and then have us take some time to formulate any questions that we think we need to ask in order to come back and be prepared on how we integrate that into our...
I did integrate it, just so you know, if you want to go through that.
Well, was that just based on his hypothesis of what that would look like?
But whatever the, you know, whether the number's plus or minus 10K, that would just be amended as part of whatever we vote on finally.
Okay. Well, I still like to kind of see if we have any other types of questions that we want to go over with the timing and how that might affect the outline that we've got prepared. So why don't we start off talking about the monthly financials?
Okay. You have two documents here. One is the JED's monthly distribution. So far we have collected year-to-date combined just short of $85,000 through the first couple of months. So that is we're just about on par with where we were last year at this time. Actually, it might be a little bit under. But again, it's still early in the collection process. 2 months doesn't necessarily tell us a trend at this point. So we'll have a better idea along about the end of April, May, June, somewhere around there when some of the companies get an opportunity to get caught up. That's really all I have to report on the JED's agreement. Unless anybody has any questions on the JED's. And I apologize. I have not had a chance to put together the memo that I normally do for the financial, so I will have that for Monday night. But if you just turn to this.
I have a question about the JED's, it's really just wondering, maybe it's kind of like an administrative support we could have. Now that we've got a few years under our belt, would it be possible to kind of put together a report that sort of tracks like the flow of payments so we can be looking at where the spikes and valleys are across the year? I don't know if we're getting it. Like, so each month we know how much we're getting, and it's not always the same amount. It's not flat across the year. We're not looking at dividing it out equally every 12 months. And we get to the, you know, September, October, and we're saying, well, do we think we're going to end up where we think we're going to end up? So I'm wondering, are we seeing anything begin to get reflected in, like, kind of the seasonality of payments? You know, how much are we getting paid each month, and how does that, like, you know, just like a line graph over the few years.
Yeah. Well, we might be able to get a spreadsheet together for that. I'll have to check with Christy to see how easy it is to put that together. Again, it may show some trends.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just kind of thinking if you put all the months of the year here and like kind of what amount we're getting paid, and you start seeing, okay, well, in the first year it looked like this, and the second year it looked like this, and then it started to kind of normalize a little bit. Like, I'm just kind of thinking, like, a line graph might give us some way of being a little better prepared as we get further along in this year to say, are we really behind, or are we starting to see that there's a trend of...
Some of that's going to be really skewed because of businesses have been moving around from district to district with the building of the chemical collection and everything like that. So, the last couple of years, we're probably going to see some I'll say, some serious fluctuations in a bar graph. But again, we can try to get some trends.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in total, not so much like by the two districts.
Okay.
I feel like that'd be helpful, but I don't want to ask for a lot of additional work if
see if the program has the ability of putting that together.
Well, if it's just monthly collections by date.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, we could do a spreadsheet on it.
Yeah, well, and show that. And Excel will produce the line graph for you.
Yeah, yeah, click that button.
I'll be like the dumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be like the mouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that would be helpful for me, because each year in, like, the final quarter, we have kind of the same discussion of where we think we're going to end up.
Okay. And then if you just turn to the third page, which is the revenue report for the general fund. So we're a little bit up in just terms of year-to-date through the end of February, $375,000 versus $310,000 property taxes. Municipal earnings tax, we're up $526,000 to $381,000 over 2018. Everything else was pretty much consistent. I don't think we were seeing anything else. We are up a little bit in building permits. Part of that is that we had another permit come in through system for the traditions. I think that's what that was. But Lori was just doing a quarterly report, so we'll have a better idea of that, the information through the end of March. Overall, revenues are okay. We haven't had any issues with the first couple of months in the general fund. Nothing substantive there. So the first 2 months look just fine. Again, I'll do a little more detailed analysis like I do in that memo, and that'll be available for capital.
So let's jump into the gasoline tax and where that puts us in terms of thinking about the budget going forward and what additional revenue we might have in SR21, and thinking about what that also could look like for the capital improvement fund. Mm-hmm. Do you want to walk us through the updates you put into?
So as of yesterday, the state legislature has tentatively approved a 10.5 cents per gallon for gasoline, and I believe it's 19 cents per gallon for diesel. Just as an asterisk to that, I'm not sure how much of any diesel tax we get. We're trying to find that out right now. It was my understanding a while ago that most of the diesel goes actually to the state of Ohio and is set aside for highways, for interstate highways, because most diesel is being used by overhaul truckers or over-the-road truckers. So we'll try to find out. I've asked that question of the Ohio Municipally. The second thing is in trying to determine what 10.5 cents looks like for the city of Madera. We had a number for the 18 cent per gallon, and that was approximately $227,000 a year. So I did some simple math and determined that it's going to get between $130,000 and $135,000, depending upon how that change in the allocation. Right now it's shared at 60% state, 40% local. They're changing it to 55% state, 45% local. And so
that's just on the increase, though.
That's just on the increase. That's not total. Yeah, that's just on the increase. That's not the total. So I'm rounding up to $135,000 a year. We will know more by the end of the week. OML has said they're going to publish those new numbers for all the municipalities on in some form of a document, I would imagine, on their website. So we'll have a better idea. But I think, $135,000 more a year is probably a pretty good number in that regard. So we'll have better information by Monday night. It is good. So absolutely.
It's half of the bare minimum Governor DeWine requested, but half of bare minimum is better than none.
Yes,
definitely more than it was.
I played around, and that's, use that word, played, because I don't know how council wants to handle this, but I showed some different numbers than I did at the last time we had this document set up. So if you look at the sheet that's marked April 3rd, 2019. You'll recognize the handwritten notes in red and the highlights, so I then added some notes in blue to reflect the changes in the gasoline tax and how that might look. So the first page is the general fund receipts, and all I did was just amend the notes down at the bottom to show, instead of a $200,000 transfer to SR21 for the years 2020 through 2024, I'm showing a $65,000 transfer from the general fund. So that's minus the $135,000 in gasoline tax money. And then I'm showing $135,000 more going into the capital fund. So if you then go to the second page.
I think I got lost there.
Okay, well, originally I was transferring a total of $200,000 from the general fund to the street fund. So I reduced that by $135,000, representing the increase in the gasoline tax money, because that, because my old figures didn't represent that.
Okay.
All right. And then I, but assuming we were still transferring $200,000 out of the general fund, not changing that number, then I took that the remaining, the $135,000, and I transferred that over into the capital fund. And again, this is just a concept, so this is not, you know, council hasn't approved any of this, there hasn't been any formal action on it, this is just showing
it. And by 200, we're talking about the increase.
That incremental amount we've talked about. Boosting our general fund.
Yeah, in this previous document that I passed at the last meeting, which I still have the old notes on there, I was showing a $200,000 additional transfer out of the general fund that keeps us near that 27% number for the general fund reserve. So that doesn't change in the general fund. So if you go back to the first page and highlight it there, you know, we're showing the reserve amount. So you can see where the, you know, so the, you can still see the, so, and, okay, so you moved to the second page, Brian? Okay, so second page. So what I did there is I kept that $200,000 transfer coming out of the general fund. Again, just to make keep everything equal, to show what it, you know, show what it would do for the street fund and for the capital fund. So, that increases the revenue, and again, we're assuming this is going to be flat from 2020 to 2024. That increases the gasoline tax revenue in 2019 from 376,862, and then going forward, we're at $440,000 going out, and I reduce the transfer then from the general fund by that $135,000. Okay, so it doesn't change the total of receipts in that situation.
Put that in the CINR.
And I put that in the CINR, right? Now, again, depending on what council wants to do, I mean, obviously this we'll clean this up in the actual spreadsheet itself. I want to point out, you know, again, the capital improvements section there that I highlighted. So we're looking at 2020 of having capital improvements of $980,000 in 2020, $985,000 in 2021, $965,000 in 2022, $1 million and $1 million in 2023 and 2024. That gets us pretty close to a 20-year schedule. Yeah, give or take, I mean, depending upon what we're doing, how many streets we're doing. And there's also a balance remaining in the street repair fund. Although it does, it's a declining balance. What we will need to take into consideration, because the $1 million there is really only for local improvements or local roads. We should still take into consideration that later on down the road, we're going to have skip projects we're going to need to have money for. So unless we reduce the local projects and do the skip projects, And we don't know when those good projects are going to hit. You know, you've all heard me say that. We didn't get money for Euclid this year, so we're going to put in for Euclid again next year. And so it's
like, we did not get the Euclid money.
We did not.
In 2020?
For 19.
Oh, 19.
For 19. Yeah. So So at this point, we'll apply for SCIF funding again in September of this year for 2020.
We missed it for 2020.
For 2020, right. Yeah. So we'll just have to reapply, but we didn't get any funding for Euclid.
And another way to say what you just said is that the intent that we were going towards before yesterday is still the same.
Correct.
You're essentially just taking we're keeping the road funding the same as we intended to before yesterday.
Correct.
And we're taking the extra that is now in general fund, we're moving it into CINR.
Correct.
Well, and I guess it's on that point.
And again, that's just an option. I mean, I'm just showing it how what that does.
That's the option that I would prefer than I envisioned.
Yeah. So if then you go to the third page and penciled in blue, see what the new amounts are, adding that $135,000 to it. So if you remember, we wanted to try to keep the balance in the capital fund as close to zero as possible, which we did. If you look at the ending fund balance there was, you know, something $2,000, $20, $245. So really it wasn't, it was fairly low. I didn't change the schedule of the spending, so that just means that, you know, because we haven't dove that deep into the analysis. So you would potentially then have an extra $135,000 that could go toward other capital improvements.
Yes.
All right. So is that? But those numbers, obviously, again, this is just one scenario, one option. It's there's a number of different ways that it could shake itself out depending upon how council wanted to do that.
I appreciate you showing that, and I appreciate you showing that.
Yeah. No. That 130 go. You've all heard me say anything we can get from the state of Ohio in terms of the gasoline tax is going to be very, very helpful, and $135,000 is pretty much an extra street a year.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to, an extra street
another
a year.
Another street. A little more than a tenth of a mile.
Well, I guess the point I was going to raise is, as we've been talking about this over the last couple of months, we've also raised the question of, well, you know, does our recommendation on how we view trash collection change in light of what we might get depending on the level of increase set by the state? And
I think it has to, for another reason. Not to interrupt, but I agree with you.
I think there's two different issues going on. One is, how do we deal with fluctuating costs of a service like trash collection? The second issue is, at what level should we be setting our investment in future capital projects? So that has always been sort of the two pillars of this kind of multi-year capital plan, one being, what should our funding level be, and the second being, what do we do to move out of service provision on these kind of fluctuating cost programs. So I guess my question, and the thing that I'm not... here's where I thought we've been coming from. That while we didn't know what the level would be in the state budget, that would be incremental to the idea of the $200,000 a year that we should be setting as our additional transfer to SR21. Because that $200,000 transfer to SR21 only puts us at sort of a minimum of where we need to be versus where we are today. Any additional revenue that comes from the state helps us move closer to the 15 to 17 year that we've long identified through many, not just this council, but council before it. I think 10 years back or more, I was even asking Tom, like, well, gosh, how many years has it been in the goal setting workshop to say we ought to get to 15, 17 year street repair life cycle? So I feel like there's sort of a fundamental issue to resolve. Is it only that we want an additional $200,000 a year going into SR21? Or is it that we ought to be making our contribution of $200,000, increase our contribution to an additional $200,000, plus anything additional that comes from the state helps us move the needle further than we could have otherwise? we weren't at a gold standard with the $200,000 transfer. We were like at a nickel standard. And I think that, or maybe silver. Let's say silver. And I think that there should be some more discussion on, do we dial back the transfer from the general fund in light of having the additional money from the state? Or does that just move us closer to where we really would like to be and have long since had council state as the goal without having the kind of will to make it happen?
I think you're exactly right on that question. I think either outcome is a tremendous improvement from where we are, so I'm not really passionately going to advocate for one or the other. But I did kind of envision how we could pick between those two options if you want to look at some numbers that I prepared based on yesterday's news.
Sure.
And before I do that, I wanted to say that I think the bigger change that we have to talk about today from a policy standpoint is the likely answer from the our legal counsel that one of the main goals of the committee here so far has been to adopt the utility policy and essentially have the per unit fee fluctuate based on the cost of the waste collection program. And unfortunately, that's probably not legally possible, meaning we, City Council, needs to legislatively set the amount that will be charged.
Well, I guess I'm not understanding where that's a problem, because I think legislatively, to have it correspond with fluctuations in the trash contract, you say the amount should be billed by number of households divided by the total contract.
Tom, I think you can do that. I don't think you can just leave it up though to the administration to say this is what the number is going to be, without establishing some formula,
and that would be a formula. Trash contract divided by units divided by 50% divided by 75.
The law would not state a dollar amount; it would state a math formula. Is that essentially?
I'm fairly confident you could do that. Yes, that you could establish it that way.
Okay,
we'll do a little more research on it, but I think that that's it. Because in that regard, then it does. It establishes a number, so you know what the contract amount is. You know how many units are using the system or the process, the program. And then you can come up with a per unit cost.
I think the area of limitation and the fluctuation is to have it become something more complicated, such as the balance beyond retaining this amount to fund city operations will be billed back to residents and over this. In a way, you could say that's still the same formula, but because you can't set what the amount of the city contribution would be, perhaps that's where it create some complication. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to explore that a little bit more because we've had some brainstorming over what could it look like if you wanted to say we only want the portion billed to residents to equal that which allows us to make a fixed transfer or a fixed amount. We want to achieve a fixed amount of transfer to capital improvements, and anything, if we have enough money that we don't need to make that large of a transfer, let's bill the residents for less of it, and the city retain the amount. So
exactly.
You know, there may be some way to look at what the formula looks like.
Yeah, and so I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit.
Does that make sense?
Let's assume for a minute, with the new money from the state, and maybe we should answer this question first. At first, I thought you were putting the cart before the horse, but maybe I was. With the new money from the state, you have two choices. Based on where we are today, assuming the Budget and Finance Committee adopts the plan we've been working on, then you have two choices, which is either do we just put the state money towards roads and proceed with more money than we were planning on last week, or do we back down the amount we're going to charge for waste collection so that the net total is the same as what we were thinking about last week. If you go with the latter, then we might as well put in the legislation a dollar amount because we will need to charge residents less than the total cost of waste collection. Does that make sense?
Well, you could say a dollar amount, or it could still be formula driven. I mean, it's really, I don't know that it's a dollar amount.
I'm going to jump in here real quick, and I'm not thrilled with the concept of waste collection charge, but in your discussion, I would be entirely opposed to putting a dollar amount in legislation. It requires legislation to be constantly updated with inflation and times. You're constantly
having there'd be a choice to update it or not. Council could either
If you're trying to set a benchmark and say we want to be on a certain year repaving cycle, for example, for roads, we would have to constantly update the dollar amount based on the cost of asphalt and the cost of the construction.
I think you'd fix the road transfer as a static amount like we've done, and then the CINR would fluctuate.
Cool. So you'd be reducing the amount that you were having in reserve for capital. But I would assume that the capital plan would have a specific amount based on our capital needs. So that means we're either shortchanging road paving or we're shortchanging capital needs.
If you fix
the number in legislation, and as time goes on, you are then going to be based on inflation, you're going to have less and less and less and less, right?
Yes.
Based on your needs.
Yes.
So if you have a fixed number, you are either going to have to constantly update the legislation to compensate for inflationary costs.
Yes.
Or you are going to be shortchanging your capital needs for your future expenditures or your road repaving expenditures.
Correct.
So a formula would be better suited.
If it's legal. And if council wants to go along with it.
Well, so I think there's a fundamental question about what do we want to achieve. What level would we like to see for the road repair?
Okay.
Up to this point, we've talked about it would be beneficial to get us to like a silver standard of increasing our transfer by $200,000, which would move us closer to like a 21 kind of year repaving cycle and be better off than we are today with men languishing in that 25 to 30 year period. Or you could look at it and say that is still our intent, and by infusing this additional revenue from the state, we can actually move the needle further than we had hoped with a conservative approach. Now, in addition to the $200,000 to street repair, roughly speaking, we were looking at being able to use the additional revenue from waste collection. I shouldn't say revenue, but instead of the additional expense of waste collection, having that money available to transfer to CINR.
About
$380,000. Yep. Would be able to go into that, and that allows us to begin building that fund. You know, not to restate the obvious, but you know, 1 year you may have $200,000 of expenses, and the next year you may have $500,000 of expenses, and that's the reason for building a balance, both in street repair for those fluctuations and in CINR for those fluctuations. So I think there's a pretty important question to pose to council now that we understand what the state contribution is changing towards, and that really shapes how we move forward with what we want to define as legislation for council to evaluate on how we handle
trash collection. What would be the Budget and Finance Committee's opinion? I think, to me, both outcomes are great. Either we fund our roads and capital improvement more, which is what we were driving for with Issue 16,
mm-hmm.
or the other outcome is we charge residents less waste collection, which is also a great outcome. I'm happy with either one. What about you two?
Well, so that's kind of my question, actually, coming into the meeting, is what are we looking for? So when we did Issue 16, we had a very specific plan, and we said this is how much money we need in order to meet this plan. What I gathered from the voters was they disagreed with that plan. They didn't want to pay that amount of money for that level of service. Okay, so what I think we're missing here is the regroup. What is our target? It seems like every meeting we've got a different target. Well, I'd like to see that quantified and put on paper.
It is. That's what our charts are for. If you look at... So
I would like to see it quantified and put on paper so that I know what is our dollar amount target. Because now we're talking about, we're getting an additional $135,000 to $140,000 from the state. Well, if that's the case, then why are we even having a conversation about whether or not we want to make that in addition to what our target is or less than it? It sounds like we've got a moving target. So what I would I would like to see a firm target and say, all right, we want, what's our goal? You know, our goal prior to this, and I still believe it was a good goal, was that we wanted to get onto a 15, 17-year paving cycle for the roads, and we wanted to establish a capital plan that put together a responsible plan for
issue 16.
For maintaining our infrastructure. I still think that's the goal, right?
No, but I disagree. I think about half that.
Well, hold on. Let me finish talking. So the goal is that we still want to put together a more responsible road repaving plan, and we want to put together a more responsible capital improvement plan. So my question then is, what are we willing to give on? Are we and what does that dollar amount become? So if we're willing to give and say, you know what, instead of a 17-year repaving cycle, we think a 20-year repaving cycle is going to be sufficient. It's not ideal, but sufficient. That's fine. Then I want a dollar amount for paving cycle. And if we say, all right, we needed $172,000 a year to maintain our equipment appropriately, now maybe we feel like we can push the service trucks for another 3 years or whatever it is, and that lowers that amount from $172,000 to $130,000. Okay, then I've got a dollar amount. But right now what I feel like the conversation is, we just got some money from the state, right? This is fantastic. It means that there's less burden on the specific residents of Madeira that we have to deal with. They're still paying the tax in the form of gas or electric vehicle charge, which I'm still angry about. The fact of the matter is, I want a firm target. I want to know what we're trying to get to. Like, what dollar amount are we trying to achieve? We knew what that dollar amount was when we did issue 16, and we had a very specific plan outlining it. I would like to replicate that process.
I'm totally confused, Scott. To be honest, I'm totally confused, because I think we have been clear about what our dollar target is.
Yeah, it's about $560 a year.
You know,
560.
Yep.
And how much goes to capital, CNIR, and how much?
$200 will go to the road fund. And the remainder, about $380 or so, will go toward $360, $380.
So that confuses me, because when we did issue 16, the conversation for capital improvement was around $179,000 a year. The need.
No, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I don't think that's totally true.
I don't think that's true, but yeah, I also.
But there's some partial truth to it because issue 16, we did gear it more towards roads, and one of the messages we took from residents was roads are not quite as important.
And so we reduced the plan from a 15 to 17-year cycle on the roads to a more conservative estimate of what it would cost to get to a 20-year cycle on the roads.
And what I do hear Scott saying, though, is that what I hear you saying is that you would rather not take the state money and add it to what we already had last week. You'd rather back down what we had last week by the state money amount.
I just want to have a firm target. I want to be able to go back to the voters and say, this is you voted down issue 16, and because of that, we've taken a step back, we've regrouped, and this is what we believe we really need to do. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer in infrastructure. I'm hardcore. I worked very hard on issue 16 because I believe that it was the right thing for the community. So I want to reinvest in infrastructure, but I want a firm target. I don't want to have a conversation now that says, well, we're going to get this much. Now we've got $130,000 coming from the state. Well, should we add that to what we needed, or should we
reduce it by that
reduce
amount?
Reduce it, right, yeah. I mean,
so that still puts us in that ballpark of, like, the figures haven't changed. What we're looking at is, would council seek to support making that an incremental improvement to move us between 20 to 17 year, or would we prefer to remain at the silver standard at 20 year?
Right.
Because that's the policy approach that we've been discussing since issue 16 failed. We've been pretty steady in that approach. Let's move towards something better than where we are, not as far as we would like to go, nor as far as councils for 10, 15 years have said that the city should move. So I don't think the target is that unclear. I think it's really the question of whether or not the $135,000 is incremental, or whether or not we reduce how we charge back something else to offset that amount.
And we don't have to solve the next 10 years problems, right? I mean, well, one step now is a huge improvement.
I think the whole point of CINR is to solve the next 10 years problems, right?
But what I'm saying is, if we choose between this option A or B, council in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years could make a different decision, right? We're not locking in council for the next 10 years.
Yeah, they could.
If we choose to have the waste collection fee low, council in 2 years could make it a little higher, and vice versa, right? If we chose to have the waste collection fee high, council in 2 years could back it down, is my point. So there's always, because of the process, there's always going to be some...
How does that then play with the policy that we have been discussing about council not being involved in utilities?
That's what I was getting at, where it gets a little sticky.
If we're not going to be involved in utilities, then now we're still going to be involved in utilities.
Yeah.
If we consider trash collection a utility, and I did some research, and I can't find anything that actually categorizes trash collection as a utility.
Well,
it's not defined under any state, local, Webster's, Google dictionary as a utility.
I think we're all willing to change the word. As we talked, it was really just talking about the essence of it, right? To do trash collection, you need a landfill, garbage trucks, you need to have an international recycling market, and that comes with price fluctuations that we don't know how to really budget and forecast for, right?
Well, so does plowing a road and salting.
I think they're quite different. I mean, you've had a real change of heart in the support that you've had for waste collection, and that's perfectly fine. Everybody has an opportunity to change their mind on it. But waste collection, in terms of following suit with the majority of communities in Hamilton County, is only recently becoming a big objection for you. And it'd be interesting to explore that more and hear some more thoughts on why the sudden shift.
I've always been opposed to waste collection. That's why I pushed for issue 16 as a tax for the voters to vote on.
I
feel like waste collection disproportionately affects everybody in our community, including our seniors.
Okay. That's really different than what we've talked about.
Well, that's been a conversation from the very beginning. Yeah. We even talked about eliminating seniors from being charged from waste collection if that was the conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely true as we were trying to brainstorm some different options on how we get there. But
so, just to clarify then, when we were talking about issue 16, we had this capital improvement estimates plan.
Mm-hmm.
So the number is $168,850. When did it go from 168 to 3?
As part of developing the new plan that we're talking about now, multi-year capital plan.
Do we have the items that are going to be expended on? That's going to be expended on?
Well, some of them are here in the latest draft budget.
Did you already have a copy of that document?
This year? This was provided at last.
I just want to be sure
March
it wasn't 11th. Something that
definitely
could
not
have
something
distributed.
This is, no, this is
you
thank
it.
You.
You've
thank
got
you,
got
Madam
close
Chairman.
To it,
mm-hmm. Right? All these items that we added in at the last meeting.
Are those in addition to what's on this list?
So this is old, right? My point in supplying this to you was that we've been working on this since issue 16 all the way through now. Right, and so this list has propagated into this list over time. There's a couple other lists as well.
Yeah, this is all the same news
so that
we talked about March 11th.
So are we able to combine all the lists so that we have one capital expense report that itemizes?
That's what we're working towards. That's what we've been working towards all along. Is this kind of thing has never existed at least in the last 10 years.
No, I know this was one of the things
right.
I asked for.
Right. So this is that's why it has draft on it and everything. When the Budget and Finance Committee makes a recommendation, and if council votes on it, then the city administration will start putting more pen to paper.
I feel
items.
Like we're behind. That's putting the horse before the cart, though. I would like to see the city administration put pen to paper on the expenses before I vote on the dollar amount. I don't want to raise taxes on the constituents without knowing specifically what the money's going to.
Okay, what's your point? I guess I'm not.
You said if council votes on it, then the city administration will put pen to paper and finish the chart. I would like the city administration to put pen to paper before we vote on it so I know how much I need.
The chart's here. This is the same thing.
What has changed this week since last week that you're changing your opinion?
Well, no. I started looking at the charts a little more, and I started realizing that we went from a $168,000 need to a $300,000 need. And I'm wondering where the additional $130,000 came from and where it's going to go. And this was the chart that the administration approved or provided us when we were discussing issue 16 and the need for capital expenses. So where did the additional and that was at 100?
Yeah, maybe I can answer some of that.
Yeah,
some of it got pushed off from this year to next year, so that changed the schedule.
But this should be an average, right? An average schedule.
There will be an average on that.
We're averaging a need of $168,000 on this chart.
Yeah,
so, so if we push off some expenses, they would still show up in the average.
The average will go up a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah.
So so what I'm hearing.
So what I would like to see is what the actual dollar amount is. I want to know what the $300,000 for the CINR average annual expense is going to be, and what our road target is actually going to be. If it is a 20-year target, what's the specific dollar amount that we need for that, so that we have a very clear and very plain document to provide to the voters to say this is what our expenses are and this is why we're doing this.
So when we did this last meeting, you didn't want to raise your voice then?
No, I hadn't had a chance to look over it. You brought this at the last meeting.
I didn't know for that.
Tom brought that. We talked about this at the March 11th meeting, along with the spreadsheet that supports it.
And when you look at page one...
I mean, it's fine if your opinion has changed.
I'm just looking for more information.
It's just surprising how quickly your opinion changed from when we talked about it last time, and that's okay. Everyone can fresh information.
So with only this spending, which we all agree is not everything... Right, the fund balance. I'm sorry, you can see that the negative per year is 400, 500, 160, 220, 180. That's where you get your 380 average over time.
Right. So I'm just looking for a chart that shows
me
what it's going to be spent on.
That is the chart.
But those don't equal 380.
What?
Well, of course not, because we've talked again and again.
Because 1 year it's 400, 1 year it's 530, 1 year it's 160,
it's
1 year
it's
220. So an average. So can we consolidate? Can we update this chart?
We will.
Okay.
And it will always be updated annually.
Yeah, we're gonna have to update that annually.
Well, can we update this chart? I like this format. I think this format is very clean and very concise.
But you also don't like that it's not in here. So.
Well, what I'm saying is I like this format. I think this format shows me that I need a new AV system, I need a playground equipment, I need all these lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I'm saying is if we can update this chart to show me all of the items that we need over the next 20 years, because this goes out to 2027, so 10 years. Just for that, 2032. This goes out to 2032. If we can update this chart that has all the expenses included in the chart, I think that would be really helpful, because that gives me one place where I've got all of the backup for what all of our capital expenses are, so that I can see that we need an average of $300,000 for capital improvement and reserves, which is double what we were targeting initially for capital improvement and reserves.
I'm not sure I agree with that statement, but I'll let you go on.
Well, so I think we have a fundamental question that we'd like to pose to council, which is with the additional $135,000 from the state, what do we want to be our target for street repair? Does that change our thinking? Are we still interested in pursuing a 20-year average?
Right.
Or, as we have been talking repeatedly, would that become incremental to 20-year to move us closer to the 15 to 17-year target? Both places are better than we are right now. Both outcomes are better than where we sit right now. And I think it would be valuable input, because once we have that information, I think we can come back to what amount is available to transfer to CINR and what do we think that target should look like.
I would really recommend that it doesn't matter. Right? What if we delay that answer until we see how the revenues and expenses are coming out, and until we see how the capital maintenance plan looks, right? So I would like to see us do a phased-in plan over 3 years. And I'd like to share that.
That's really different from where you were last year.
For wage collection? Well, I think there's still, like, all along we've had two very clear objectives. What do we want to be investing annually in capital improvement, and what do we see as the best path forward for how we handle the fluctuation in the trash market?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. There may be some point of overlap in determining how much money do we need supporting capital improvement that could result in the city rebates back part of it. You know, I firmly believe overall it makes sense. You shift the cost of trash collection to residents, so over time as that contract changes, that we are no longer in a liability with that service provision.
Okay.
But there's room for us to say, This year, we think the city can rebate this portion, and that changes how much residents need to bear. I also think that as we kind of look over the next 3 years, the real outcome that my takeaway as we've been talking about this so much, is we need to be prepared for 2021 when it's time for our trash contract renewal, anticipating there's likely to be a good bit of fluctuation from where we are right now. We know where we're going to be over the next couple of years. It's already in our contract, but we need to shift the onus of bearing the fluctuation in trash collection away from the city. So following the suit of so many other communities in Hamilton County. So that is still, and maybe it even bears like kind of going back to the overall kind of documents that we've been discussing to this point, that maybe we have two separate policies this committee is working towards. One that has to do with handling fluctuating costs on service provision, and the other has to do with setting targets for how do we craft a true multi-year, long-term capital plan, which we haven't really done. You know, it's always been whatever money's left over. Well, we're not going to save for the future. We're not going to put money in the college savings account. We're just going to hope that we have enough when the time comes. So maybe it's the problem that both have become blended.
I think that might be the problem. I think the intent of that chart initially was that we were crafting a multi-year true capital plan so that we could have an average expense dollar amount. I think that was the whole point of that document being created. So when I look at that document and I see a large disparity in what we're budgeting for versus what the document shows, then my question is, what changed? So if we could update that document to show, that would be really helpful for me, because I feel like we've got a lot of work ahead of us. We've got a lot of conversations about what is our target, right? Because now we're having a conversation today about do we increase our target because we're getting money from the state, or do we keep our target where it was? And then I've got some questions on what that target is made up of. And then the other question I just heard today for the first time was something about a phase-in plan, where, and this is the first meeting where that was brought up, so maybe we have to have some conversations about how, what that might look like, if trash collection, and if we should be in the policy if trash collection is even a utility, do we stay in that business or not in that business? And if we're going partial or not partial, then it kind of goes in the face of what that policy, as it's currently written, states.
I agree, and even if we, you know, there's still the outcome that we may retain ownership of the Indian Hill water line, right?
Right, yeah.
So I propose lightening the language on the utility policy as well.
Yeah.
And I have been thinking about all these arguments in the last 24 hours, and they're all valid. And what I come back to every time is that it's not the role of the Budget and Finance Committee to decide anything. Our job is to make a recommendation to council for them to decide, right? And so I was thinking about recrafting our memo to basically give council a range of three options, right?
Yeah.
And then because there's so much in change and in flux, propose that we, as a recommendation to council, that we phase in the waste collection fee over a period of 3 years, because that gives... What that does is, number one, it starts the process that we've been trying to start for so long. That's the most important thing. Whether it happens today or 4 years from now, fully implemented is unimportant. What's important is that it gets started, right? And number two, it doesn't impact the residents quite as hard on day one. And number three, it lets our committee and council start to have a little bit bigger time window to say, okay, here's what it starts to look like operating in year one, year two, year three, because I guarantee you, no matter what we recommend or what council decides today, is going to be changed in year three, no matter what we decide, even if we try to plan it all out and do it now, or whether we give council a recommendation that says options one, two, and three, yeah, it's going to change in year three.
Well, I think that, I certainly think that's worth exploring, but I think we need to explore it. So maybe we take some time to take a look at that and see what that looks like. How does that impact the CINR expenses, what the projects are impacted, you know, how does that impact the street repaving plan if we're pushing it back, the total revenue for 3 years.
So what I would recommend, do you want to explore it, or do we want to...
I think it's certainly worth exploring.
I want to explore it.
Can I pass this out?
What you've already outlined is three different scenarios.
As an idea?
Well, I don't think we're going to have a lot of time to discuss it today.
Okay.
What I would like to do is that we talk about that in greater detail at our next meeting, and I'd like to gather input as, you know, when we have a report from this meeting to council. I think it'd be very useful to get some insight on where do we align on this idea of, is the $135,000 incremental to push us closer to a 15 to 17 year target, or is the target for street repair still 20 year as we've been talking, as we've shared our updates from the committee? I think that's really fundamental.
If you phase it in, you don't have to decide that until year three, because you would make your street transfer $200,000, right? Just like Tom showed at the beginning of the meeting. What the fund that's suffering in the phase-in program is CINR. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We never had one to begin with, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, well, that's true.
And that's how I would answer it. I think mm-hmm. it's really simple and immediate and doesn't need another month delay. But if that's where the majority wants to go, then it's not my decision.
I think it's an important question to get some more input on, and it's worthwhile to have the delay to hear what council has to say on that point.
Okay. Well, I think we need to discuss it even more before we present anything to council, because I still want to see what it looks like and how it impacts the street repaving plan and the.
Well, under my, what I would recommend is that it wouldn't impact the street repaving plan.
Well, it would have to impact something.
It would impact CINR.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So trigger paving in the CINR. I mean, obviously, those maintenance things still have to happen. Roofs leak, trucks break.
Well, before now, they're not happening, right? So what's 1.5 more years of delay? Well, in my opinion is that we'll delay this more than that if we keep trying to get some unattainable level of perfection, but that's my opinion.
I agree. I'm not keen to delay and delay. I think it's pretty clear to me we need to increase our transfer to street repair. We need to have a conscientious, ongoing level of support to CINR that's not just whatever's left over in the pocket at the end of the year.
Yep.
And then we need to figure out how do we provide the revenue to support that plan. What I'm not clear on is where that $135,000 fits in, and I think it leads to two different outcomes in terms of what street repair should look like. Because it impacts what street repair should look like, it impacts what CINR should look like and how much transfer we need. And I think it's a really valuable question to get insight. Do we want to be getting to 20 year? Do we want to be getting to the 15 to 17 year we tried to attain with issue 16?
But even that question can never be answered, because one year we'll get the Euclid Road money and we'll put sidewalks up Euclid Road.
Well, I disagree.
Then your whole timeline for the neighborhoods gets shifted one year.
Well, I disagree.
And then next year we might get Camargo for the Indian Hill side of it and sidewalks to blow.
Well,
right?
I disagree,
you're not
because
talking
you
about
still would end
every
up
road
looking at the average.
Some roads are going to be 21 years, some roads are going to be 15.
Well, it's a theoretical average that produces what should the annual spend be if you're averaging out what the sum of the
dollar
amount. But it's nearing the point of meaningless, because along the way there's huge black swans that come along that just rip a hole in your theoretical.
Well, you're at sales, right? You should be really good at forecasting and know the importance of forecasting.
That's why I know
this is basically a forecast.
I disagree.
Sales forecasts are useless.
I'd like to go back to something that Tom introduced for us as we were first looking at what would this look like kind of updating with $135,000. And I actually had a question for him about this morning, and because I said, you know, I'm going back over the, let me see which piece of paper to shuffle to. I'm going back over the notes we discussed at our March 11th meeting with the draft budget showing these different updates. And I said, you know, I'm confused because I'm looking at this and I'm seeing, it seems like that number ought to say 880 and that number ought to say 974 and that number ought to say blah, 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 and going through that. What Tom led us off with as we were talking about this, shifting so that we build the balance in street repair, so when that Euclid project comes up, we have the money saved. When that Camargo Road project ends up costing $300,000 more than we have that money saved.
Well, I agree. I don't think
so. That's what we're looking at.
I think that's what issue 16 did, but I don't think this plan does that.
I think it
does fall short of that. Right. And that was one of the things I was going to mention. Well, I mentioned to Bruce Branstetter earlier this week in anticipation that the state legislature was going to take some action on the gasoline tax, is to go back through the numbers with him, because we had a number of what it was going to take to hit that 15 to 17 year. And again, we all recognize the fact that that had no inflationary value to it.
That's a lot of missing information.
Yeah, so it was all based on 2017 dollars, and that and you know, I think we're all we all understand that it's not going to work that way. What's that? I'm sorry?
Oh, the Historical Society?
No, it's the senior, that's going to be in senior citizens.
Yeah, that will be in this council chambers. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I've asked him to do a quick analysis to see where, I mean, again, we're near $1 million a year now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's, I mean, that was kind of a target, and that's why I said...
We would be near $1 million a year if we kept this $200,000
Right, if we kept that $200,000 transfer.
Move us from where we are today.
Correct. There you go. Thank you. See where that gets us. As I said, I've been using 20-ish years as a statement. I'm going to ask Bruce to try to drill down on that to see if, you know, see how close we actually are with it. So I'll have that information hopefully, you know, very soon, and we can roll that in with the with any revisions to the capital budget. But you know, getting closer to that $1 million a year, does get us a lot closer to that 15 to 17 year cycle. So, but again, I'll try to nail it down a little bit better. But again, you know, remember what we talked before, and I want to emphasize it again. The numbers we had previously had no inflationary value in them whatsoever. They were all based on 2017 dollars.
Well, I think that's why we had been conservative in building in kind of a 20% investment fund, looking back at issue 16 to say, we don't know what changes there will be. We need to save more aggressively than we have been doing if we want to support this level of spending based on today's estimates. We need to be thinking about the fact costs are going to rise and unexpected projects may come up and traffic signals may go down and something's going to need to happen. So we, you know, that was the original intent. I guess I'm still, I don't know. I guess my takeaway is we need some council input on how do you treat the incremental state gasoline tax. Does that become part of working towards,
I think that's this committee's job, Mr.
Yeah,
isn't
it? I would agree with that, too.
I disagree, actually. I think the Public Works Committee is very involved in what we've talked about so far and what we've broadcast in our committee reports and what we've talked about in November and December as a failure of Issue 16 is we need to decide our path. Do we do nothing and stay at a 25 to 30 year road repaving cycle? Or do we look at ways to move closer to a better cycle, even if not all the way to what we had wanted? And what those discussions have led us to is to get to, you know what, if we can get to a 20 year cycle, we will be better off than we are today, and it is not as costly as what the voters did not want to support. And so I feel like this 20-year idea has been fairly firm, and it could be that council wants to reiterate that and say 20-year is still the target where we need to be, and we don't. So that means the $135,000 doesn't become incremental. That means we have less we need to put into street repair because we now have $135,000 we didn't have before. So I think that that's a really fundamental question. Okay. Is that the target, 20-year, or do we think we should do better than that? Because we can now go further with that additional money.
If I had to decide today, I would say we don't change where we were last week in the road money. The state road money is not incremental.
Well, and I think that would be great to get council input on.
Okay.
Because I felt that our discussions to date, as we knew that this was impending, was that it could very well be viewed as incremental to move us closer towards what we should be at.
And I guess I should clarify my answer that I don't even want to decide today.
Right.
The phase-in plan, I went council in 3 years to decide.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see what the phase-in plan looks like. This is the first meeting we've had in a conversation about phase-in anything in 2 years. So I'd like to see what
I don't think that's exactly that true. Like. I think as we've been talking about waste collection, we've talked about a number of different ways that it could happen, ways that it could minimize the impact on residents, ways that you could limit the impact on seniors or fixed incomes. It's definitely been more than once that it's come up, the idea that it wouldn't need to always be 100%, but we've been talking about it as a 100% thing up until now. So there has always been room to say, what do we do to smooth the path between here and when we need to renegotiate the trash contract in 2021? So I don't feel like that's a surprise, but you know, certainly I can accept that that's your view.
Yeah, it's certainly a surprise to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I think our takeaway is that as of February, our monthly financial reports look pretty steady. Mm-hmm. Be nice to have some kind of trends on the JEDS, so that we can be thinking about that for this year, and that it would merit some council discussion to revisit what our street repair cycle target should be, and also where do we go on the capital plan. So I don't feel like that's changed a lot, but there may be some room to think, what do we do from here? Does that get us to a good conclusion point? Okay. So I think everybody has any documents that were provided at this meeting. Anything that we discussed was either provided today or was provided at the March 11th meeting, and you should have caught up.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Steve, do you have any feel for the overage on both property taxes and the earnings tax? You know, is that a trend that you're seeing, or do you have a feel why it's so much more than last year?
The property tax is really collection time.
Right. What about the earnings? Because the earnings tax is...
The earnings tax perked up a little bit. We're happy with that.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't want to call it first of the year thing, but I think there's, again, some timing with...
We may be seeing some catch up.
I mean, was there an impact from, like, when they lowered the corporate tax rate, does that flow through, and does that impact earnings tax
for
business?
No, that doesn't. Yeah, if it does, it's going to be really marginal, Dave.
And it's such a big difference.
Yeah, the thing we saw, is people paying taxes ahead of time because of the salt.
Take care of getting to your
better.
Okay.
Just like
okay.
people were doing with their property taxes ahead of time.
Yeah.
So we saw a little influx from that. So that should even itself out.
Yeah.
That impacted 17 and caused a problem for us in 18.
Yeah.
So we're thinking that's going to even itself out.
I do think the property tax is going to trend. I think it's going to be.
But the counties gives us that number. And it doesn't. I mean,
Do they give you an actual number?
They give us what we're going to
Because they kind of know what everything is.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what's reflected in the budget.
Yeah. That's what the county tells us.
The number they provide.
Whatever number they give us.
Yeah.
So we,
of course, that was the same thing last year, wasn't it? I guess the budgeted amount was the number they gave you at the beginning of the year, I guess.
Right.
Because then it ended up being a lot more.
It'd be a lot more. Yeah.
More, right.
Yeah.
So as things.
Yeah, houses change and all that.
They get new revenue. So
right. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Usually doesn't go down because.
Yeah, I know.
So we're down.
Yeah.
That's nice. Great.
Great. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good day.
You as well.
Thanks.